You know, doing the right thing came natural and was easy. God wouldn't have to command us to do the right thing. And we find that God does command us to do certain things and exhorts us and over again repeats certain things again and again that we're to do. And it's because it just doesn't come natural. One of the wonderful things about a church and about the preaching of the Word of God is that God reminds us, and maybe this week some of you who knew a lot of these things that have been dealt with just got reminded about some things, and that's good. Whatever, however God used it, that's good. But God reminds us again and again about things that we ought to do, and it's just so easy to let good things slip. And may God help us tonight that we'd somehow just really pray. I got to look at some of these little children tonight, and I thought, dear Lord, these little children are worth us working ourselves and doing what we have to do to make our marriages work for the sake of them, for no other reason. And yet, there's many reasons, of course, tonight. But God bless these precious little boys and girls. Colossians 3 and verse 12 tonight. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. By the way, we ought to be the most forgiving people in the world. I mean, Christian people ought to be the quickest to forgive. I mean, it ought to be the easiest to say, well, sure, man, sure. I mean, we're forgiven. Forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Put on charity. Amen. Put on charity. God help us to get suited up in charity every day. Put on charity. Love, if you will, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's good, isn't it? Praise the Lord. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, touching and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Now, tonight I have four or five things that I want to bring from God's Word along this line. And I want to speak to husbands and wives. And I want to begin by saying that, let me preface by saying this. I'm sure some of you maybe this week have been saying, Brother Joe, if you knew my situation, you wouldn't try to encourage me. If you knew how bad it was, you'd just leave me alone and just let us go ahead and, you know, split the sheets. And, and I want to say tonight, not on your life. I mean, there is no situation too bad or too hard for God to step in and to correct. It's amazing. I've seen God do it again and again and again. I've seen God take impossible situations and work them out and take a marriage that you think there's no way it can work but with God. But when you put God in there, God makes it work. Amen? And I want to say tonight that even though, the devil may have told you there's no need for you to try, no need for you to even listen to what's being preached this week, I want to say there is reason. And God can, and I hope He will give you renewed hope and determination to give God a first place in your life. Number one tonight, in regard to marriage, and this, you know, this is all, as you've seen, I don't have anything profound. I mean, you know, there are some preachers that are profound preachers. I'm certainly not that. And I wouldn't need to tell you that, but I mean, you see that already. Everything I have is just as simple as A, B, C, and two is four. So I don't have anything profound tonight. But I do have some things that I know is true and it works, and I've seen it true in the Word of God and seen it true in life. And number one is this, is that we need to accept our mate for what they are. And that is, we simply need to recognize that a woman is not a man. Amen. I mean, you know, if you want a man, you should go to San Francisco, I guess, whatever. But I'm saying a woman is a woman. Is a woman. Is a woman. Is a woman. I mean, the Word of God says there in Genesis 1:27 that God created them male and female. God made two different people. I mean, and brother, if you're married, you can say amen to that. We are different. But you know, we need to accept our mate for what they are. I mean, wives, you need to stop trying to make your husband think like and act like a woman. And men, you need to stop trying to make your wife think like and act like and be like a man. We need to accept our mate for what they are. I'm thankful that God did make us different. I'm thankful for the fact that we complement one another. Amen. I'm simply saying this, that there are some characteristics about a woman that just will never change, and you can lose your salvation over if you want to, but it ain't going to change. A woman is just the way God made her, and a man is just the way God made him. And by that, here's what I'm trying to say: is there's some things that are feminine, that are female, that are just associated with women, and we can't, you know, say, well, I don't understand you. You know, you man, you know why you act this way? She acts that way because God made her to act that way. That's the way He made her. Amen. And you wives may look at your husband and say, well, I don't understand why you act that way, why you do what you do. He does it because that's the way God made him. Amen. For instance, let me give you a for instance. If it's a special occasion, and you're going to buy a gift, you husbands are going to buy a gift for your wife. Now, you think about it. Today is her birthday. You know, oh man, this is my wife's birthday. So you run out to the store and you frantically shop around and you grab something up and you get it and you get it wrapped up and you bring it home and you present it to her that night or whatever. And she says to you, when did you get this gift? Oh, I got it a couple hours ago. I mean, you know what that means to her? That gift, it doesn't really mean anything at all to her hardly then, because you just got it. Now, for a man, if you buy a gift, I don't care if you buy it 15 minutes before you get to him, he doesn't care when you've got it. Isn't that right? We don't care when you thought about it. We're glad you thought about it. But for a wife, here's what you can do, fellas. Listen to what I'm saying now. I mean, really take it to heart. Every day prior to that occasion that you buy that gift makes it double in value. If you buy it a day ahead, it's worth twice as much to her. If you buy it, 2 days ahead, just back it up. And if you buy it a week or a month ahead, man, it doesn't matter what the gift is. It just gets bigger and bigger and more special. Now, can you figure that out, guys? Huh? Does that make sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me, but I'm saying that's the way it is. Isn't it right, ladies? Isn't that correct? Is it correct? Sure, it's correct. I mean, it is. I mean, and I'm saying that we need to accept our wives. I used to wonder what was, I'd buy a gift to my wife and she'd find out, that I just bought it. In fact, she found out one of the Christmas gifts I bought for this time that I didn't pick it out. I had my daughter-in-law pick it out. And, it just became nothing because I didn't pick it out. No matter what it was, I mean, it's really something. And yet we guys aren't that way. And I'm saying that your marriage will be helped if you come to accept your wife for what she is. And you women, if you come to accept your husband for the way he is, that we're just not the same. There are some unchangeable things about men and women that we need to accept. Here's another one. After church, you say to some friends of yours, you guys, I'm saying, you say to some friend, hey, come on over. Come on, let's have a bite to eat. Huh? Just on the spur of the moment, you know. And you get the card going home to church and say, oh, by the way, I invited, Bill and Jan over. She said, you did what? Huh? Now, we're not going to try to show off anything. We just want to go home and have a little fellowship with Bill and Jan. But that's not the, you've done wrong. You crossed the line, whatever. And you pay for it, amen, right? Now, what does that say? Number one, it says to wives, you need to kind of come our way a little bit, and understand us that we just do things like that on the spur of the moment. And we husbands need to be more considerate towards our wives. I mean, maybe it was a very busy day today, maybe Sunday, and she didn't get the dishes done, and they're all piled in the sink, and the living room's messed up, and she's embarrassed about that. I mean, the woman's home is really a part of her, and it's not us guys, Our home's just a place where we eat and live and what have you, but we don't feel like it represents us. So I'm saying, number one, I know this is very simple, but I tell you what, even the simplicity, if we get a hold of it and realize and begin to recognize that God has made us different and help us to be understanding towards each other. Amen? And realize the differences and try to work with those differences. Amen? The second thing I've said tonight in regard to marriage is this, and boy, this is so important, that we need to give to marriage more than we get from marriage. We need to give more than we get. Now, most of us want to get more than we give. Most of us, and it's just, it's just because we're human creatures, we really feel like that we are the most important person around, and we want our wife, or in the case of the wife, the husband, to kind of revolve things around us. But we need somehow to determine in our marriage to give towards our marriage more than we get from our marriage. I mean, instead of a 50-50 thing, that I would really go far beyond that. Amen? That I would... I don't want to just do for my wife just to the extent that she does for me. I want to go beyond that. And of course, I would say that she wants to go beyond that. And that's wonderful. When I'm going beyond it, she's going beyond it, we're kind of lapping over. Amen? And that's good. If it's the other way, you're kind of standing back here, and, you're coming up here, and you're saying, well, I feel like I've done my part, and I've done my part, but somehow there's still some gap here. When you're giving more than you get, like I said, there's never any gap. Put into your marriage, and by this I'm talking about in every way, put in your marriage, more than you're trying to get out of your marriage. Help your wife, you guys. Be considerate towards her. I'm sure that some of you would think it was just really unmanly, just really not your place to ever go in the kitchen and wash dishes for your wife. But you can do that and still be a man. Amen? Just sometimes you see your wife and she's just really feeling punk, feeling bad. And instead of saying, well, honey, man, I sure hope you get feeling better, Boy, I'm sure sorry, sweetheart, you're feeling lousy, huh? But God bless you, honey, God bless you. Really, how about putting your prayers and your interests, into shoe leather, and how about getting up and going to the kitchen to help clean up? I've done it many times, and I'm sure some of you've done that many times. But we need to give more than we get. I mean, it doesn't hurt you. You say, well, that's woman's work, that's housework, and I agree with all that, but it doesn't hurt us to do it. And it says to our wife, I love you. I really do love you. And I see that you're not feeling good, and I want to help you in this time. And wives, likewise, amen? You see certain times when your husband's not feeling well, I mean, you there's some things you can do to help him on the other side. And I'm saying that we need to give more than we get. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." And that always is true, by the way. When you give in your marriage and go beyond what is maybe what you feel like is your part, there's always a return from that. As you give, you always get in return for that. I mean, just take my word for it. You do. So I'm saying that we need somehow to give to our marriage more than we get. In Proverbs 31, which we've looked at a number of times and you've looked at, we find this virtuous woman. We find her giving of herself. And man, that humbles me when I see this woman. And thank God for women like that. Thank God for wives like that, that just are giving of themselves. And I say this now. I don't want to embarrass my wife at all. And I don't want to make you think that I think that she's the only one that really is a godly woman. She's really a godly woman, not just in church. She's really a real person, and she has got to be the most unselfish person and the most giving person I know. I mean, she never thinks about herself. She's always thinking about someone else. Always doing for someone else. And praise God for that. Well, that's the Proverbs 31 woman was that way. She was giving far more than she ever got in her marriage. Amen. And I don't know what the husband did. I know this, that he rose up and blessed her name and complimented her. I know that. And I hope he did far more than I think he did. But I'm saying this, that she certainly put a great deal into her marriage, did she not? And wives, you need to put a great deal into your marriage. I mean, just pour yourself into that marriage. And husbands, you pour yourself into that marriage as well. The third thing tonight that I would say in regard to marriage is this. And I say this tonight because I realize there may be, no doubt there are some in this situation right here. And that is, one committed partner can make a marriage work. One committed partner can make a marriage work. Now, I'm not going to say that one committed partner can make a marriage good, make a perfect marriage, because you can't. But you can make a marriage work, and you can pray that God will make that marriage a good marriage, and maybe one day it become an excellent marriage. But if you're committed to God, you can make that marriage work. I see of a number of examples in the Scripture, and I've seen dozens of examples in churches where I've been in. And also in the church where I pastored, of examples where only one person was really saved and committed to God, and yet they were faithful and served the Lord, and the other person just kind of drug their feet, and yet because of the commitment of this one person, husband or wife, that marriage worked. I mean, they stayed together, they raised a family, they made it work. I mean, they could have divorced, they could have said, well, that's it, it's not a good marriage, it's not to what I want it to be, and so we're just going to divorce, but they didn't do that. And I'm saying tonight that a person who's really committed to God can make a marriage work. And if you're married tonight to an unsaved man, God says it, and he wants to dwell with you, God said you dwell with him. God said if you're married to an unsaved woman, and you're saved, and she is pleased to dwell with you, God says to dwell with her. God didn't say, well, she's unsaved, she's a heathen, divorce her. God says, dwell with her. Amen? And you can make that marriage work. And hopefully, according to 1 Peter, hopefully you can see your husband or your wife saved as you live, as they observe your godly conversation, your walk day by day. You can see them come to know Jesus as their Savior. So I'm saying it's important for us to realize that a person who's really committed can make a marriage work. And so don't let the devil tell you it can't. Don't let your friends tell you it can't, because it can. It really can. And then let me say in the next place, and this is so important, that we need to give our expectations to God. The problem with a lot of marriages is that we go into marriage with certain expectations. And we're expecting our wife to do this, 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 and this. All right? Or you wives are expecting your husband to do this, 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 and this. And you go into marriage with those expectations, and the husband or the wife doesn't live up to them. I mean, they may not live up to any of them. And you think, what in the world happened? And you may just really want to throw in the towel. But I'm saying this, that you need to give your expectations to God. And by that I mean this. I mean you need to say to God, God, this is my marriage. I'm married to this woman. I'm married to this man. And dear Lord, you know what I'd like to see this become. But God, I can't make it that way. And I'll live so frustrated, I won't be worth nothing. If I'm going to keep, you know, fretting about this matter of my expectations. So God, I want to trust my marriage and my desires for my marriage to you. I'm going to give them to you, God. And I'm going to trust you to work this thing out to where one day it'll be the marriage that that you want it to be and that I desire it to be. Give your expectations to God. If not, you'll be so disappointed. You'll be so cast down if that wife or husband comes short of what you know what you expected her to do and to be, and how you expected her to act and do and so forth. Give your expectations to God, and that's a good place to put them. Amen. I mean, just say, God, I want to deposit these expectations with you, and dear God, I'd like to see you fulfill them one day, but I'm not gonna live the rest of my life frustrated because of them. And so, dear Lord, here they are. And then just trust God to work in that husband's life or in that wife's life. And you know, God has a wonderful way of doing that. I praise the Lord for that. When we turn something like that over to God, God's able to take those expectations we have, and God's able to fulfill many of them. And I know that's happened in many of your lives here. And then, may I say in the fifth place, and this is also so very important, you should never, ever, ever give up trying. You know, it's really something when you read in the Scripture, in the book of Job. You know, Job, and Doris and I have had quite a controversy about this, and we've never really finally agreed together on this, and we may never till we get to heaven. But the book of Job, it looks like that Job didn't have really very much of a supportive wife. It looks like that when Job's trials came on him, that his wife really failed him. And she said to him, why don't you curse God and die? But you know, if you follow that through, follow through the book of Job, Job could have said in his heart, well, you know, if that's the kind of woman she is, I don't need her. I mean, here I am in my desperate hour, and I need the support of a helpmate. And instead of her encouraging me, she's just really piling more weight upon me. She's saying, won't you curse God and die? But you know, when you follow through the book of Job, from Job 2 there, where in verse 9 and 10, where she says, won't you curse God and die? And then you go right on through and you see that Job continued to hold on to his integrity, and continue to stand for God. And then you come out to Job chapter 42, and you find that in the end, that God gave Job, not only gave him his material things back, but he gave him more children. Amen. And I can't, even though it doesn't say it in words there, I can't help but believe that God did something in his wife's life. I mean, we know that to have children, he had to have a wife to have them, and he had the same wife, all right? But I'm saying, I think God did something in his wife's life to change her in the end, that she, no doubt, was the woman and the wife that he had desired her to be, and that she should have been. In fact, look at Job 42. Let's read just a couple of verses there. Job 42 and verse 12. I think it'd be worthwhile us just looking at that. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Kiran Hapuk, and in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And they live, and after this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. What am I saying? I'm saying don't ever give up on your marriage. The devil will tell you to give up. Many of your friends will tell you to give up. I mean, some of your relatives will tell you, hey, man, why do you even try? And there are some of those that really closest to you, and yet they're unspiritual. They'll tell you, hey, man, ditch this marriage. Give up. Quit. But God doesn't give you that direction. God wants you to keep trying. Keep working at that marriage. And don't ever give up trying. Amen? Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. All right? In well-doing. That is, if you and I are working at our marriage, we're working at well-doing. And he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Did you know that many a couple has thrown a marriage away just maybe that short of it turning around and becoming a good marriage? And I would say tonight to you that maybe you've never known a good marriage. Maybe your marriage has always been a bad marriage. You have nothing but heartache from your marriage. I want to say don't ever give up trying. Don't ever give up trying and looking to God for God to turn this thing around. If God can change the wife of Job, and I believe he did, God can change your husband or your wife. If God can change other people in the Scripture. I was just thinking about a case, and I guess I won't refer to that. But what I'm saying is, if God can change one husband, he can change another husband. God can change one wife, he can change another wife. And I'm saying this, we should never give up trying to make our marriage into the kind of marriage that God wants it to be. Amen. I'm sure of this tonight, that of all the desire that there might be here in the hearts of the members of this church and your pastor's heart and my heart and Darcy's heart, I'm sure that the heart of God is more interested, more concerned, and more involved in what we've been doing these days than anyone. And I'm really praying that God will take these days, the teaching, the preaching, and ever fast of this. I know that one young man told me Friday night, he said, I've been fasting and praying. And thank God for that. Others have been praying for this meeting. We've been praying for the meeting. And our prayers are still that God will take these days, and God will strengthen your marriage. God will help your marriage. God will put your marriage back together. Whatever the need may be, that God will help you in your marriage and do it soon. Let's bow our heads, please, and let's pray.